Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Ninth State Sports Show Lacrosse Edition. My name is Joe Marcellina, and joining me once again, Derryfield AD and boys lacrosse coach Chris Hetler. Chris, how you doing today?
Doing good, Joe. Can I officially say it's the midway point of the season?
It kind of is. Right. We're recording on May 1st, which is falls on a Wednesday, in the middle of the fourth week of the of a 7-week regular season. So yeah, we are smack dab right in the middle. Also, I think we owe you some belated happy birthday wishes. Monday was the big day.
Monday was the big day.
How do you feel? You feel older?
Forever 21.
Forever, excellent, perfect, the right age. All right, but yeah, we are smack dab right in the middle of the lacrosse season, which is crazy because you look at some of the standings and there are teams that have played I think half their schedule, and then there are some teams that have played three games. So it's going to be a crazy finish for a couple of teams.
There's going to be a lot of 3, 4, 5 game weeks out here coming up. But, you know, it's been across the board in all sports. You know, we had a beautiful day for most of the day yesterday. Had a freak thunderstorm came through, and Derryfield baseball did not go off yesterday. So, and tennis barely got off. So it's been a problem across all sports.
Well, as always, you can share your feedback or thoughts on the show by sending an email to nhhighschoolsports@gmail.com or by connecting with us on social media. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at @NHHSports. New shows will be posted every Thursday morning throughout the lacrosse season at nh-highschoolsports.com or by searching Ninth State Sports Show on Spotify or Odyssey. Or if you... you want to re-listen to the show when you're maybe out and about or don't have access to the internet, you can listen to us on the radio. The folks over at Manchester Public Television have started airing the show or re-airing the show on their radio station, WMNH 95.3. You can listen to that Fridays at 5 p.m., Saturdays at 8 a.m., or Sundays at noon. So plenty, we got you covered, you know, coming and going, like all over the place.
I have yet to turn it on. I may have to do that, freak my kids out a little bit and see if they understand why dad's coming through the radio.
But that would be an interesting experience. All right. Now, before we get into this week's show, I'd like to tell you about our sponsor. The Ninth State Sports Show is proudly sponsored by Prolax Custom. Since 2018, Prolax Custom Lacrosse of Bedford has been the region's go-to source for boys' stick stringing and custom lacrosse head dyes. Don't settle for a hand-me-down stick or a mass-produced factory pocket when you can get a stick dialed in for your position and playing style from Prolax Customs. Whether it's a brand new stick, a restring of your existing stick, or a full custom dye job to stand out from the crowd, every customer they work with gets one-on-one service and a satisfaction guarantee. With access to every major brand, Prolax Customs is your hometown source for your new stick. Visit them on Instagram or at prolaxcustoms.com. You know, I before we get into our normal rundown here, I apologize because 2 weeks ago you brought up something that I said I was going to mention every single week, and then I said I'll get back on track next week, and I forgot last week. So here's my 2 weeks or 3 weeks worth of ranting that the championship games are not going to be held at the same location. They're basically three games. Three different locations, all at the same time, all on the same day. And I'm still, like, even this past week, I've talked to people who had no idea about this. Like, parents, other media members, not any coaches. They think the coaches all know at this point, I hope.
I would think so. I'd be fairly certain that the coaches know.
People are still stunned that this is happening this way. And pretty much everybody's response has been, well, that's stupid. So I don't know. I feel like I'm on the right side on this one.
I don't think anyone doesn't agree that it's stupid. It's just, as we've talked about before, unfortunately, a necessary evil this year. Hopefully it doesn't continue.
I'll second that, except I'll put a U and an N in front of necessary. It's an unnecessary evil, because I'm sure we could have figured
it. Yeah.
There's something could have been figured out. That's my feeling. I don't know the inner workings of the NHIA and the committees and all that, other than what I've been told. And honestly, that's not much. Or maybe not, at least not as much as people might think.
I think we need a proposal from you each week to go along with the rant.
You want something to come up with? All right. I did give you one at the beginning in the first podcast.
I think we go with a proposed solution that we could forward to the lacrosse committee to then move forward.
I will add that to the list of things to get done. Also, before we get started, I want to mention a couple other things that'll be coming up. One thing that's coming up later this week and one thing that's going to be going away next week. The thing that's coming up, we talked about this last week, playoff pictures. Really hard to do, like I said, when teams have only played two or three games. But we are, at the midway point of the season. So this Friday, I'm going to be posting boys and girls playoff pictures for all three divisions. And to start out, just for this week only, because we are in the middle of the season, I'm going to give it a little special twist. At the end of the previews, if you'll remember, I gave predictions on playoffs and championships and all that. I'm going to do updated ones for all the divisions for mid-season playoff picks.
Oh, I like that. All right.
And kind of see where have I changed? Where has my opinion changed? Who's changed my opinion? Or do I still feel the same with all of these? So something exciting to look for. At least, I don't know. I hope it's exciting. Now, the thing that's going away... if you've been on the site, a couple people have signed up for it, still offering lacrosse-focused memberships on the site. What that is you basically, for a set price for $79, you can sign up. You get membership for a year on the site, full year access to everything, not just lacrosse stuff, but everything on the site, and everything going back, too. You know, so you can go back and read old stories if you haven't been a member and you missed some things or something you want to go back and read. What you also get with this will be the 2024 lacrosse yearbook as well at the end of the year. And the reason, you know, I say that and want to mention this now is you'll be able to buy them later after the season. But right now, this will be the lowest price that you get on it. Normally, the yearly membership is $59 a year. So only for an extra $20, you get the yearbook and as well. It will not be that. The price
like
will not be that low. So you have until midnight Tuesday. So end of the day Monday, basically. If you haven't signed up by then, you missed your chance for this year. So that will be, you'll still be able to sign up for a regular membership.
Right. But you miss out.
But
on
you'll
the
miss
extras.
Out on the special deal on the yearbook. All right. Enough business. Let's get down to lacrosse. And where we usually start is the coaches poll, which... this week had some small C chaos, I feel. Not big C because we still had the same number one team.
Well, we said some things were going to shake out. We had some big games coming up here, and we got to kind of see there. And I think coaches get a little more accurate idea of kind of where people sit in the rankings there. You want to run through it?
Well, to start, we also had, and as I mentioned in the post, this has got to be unprecedented, where six teams in the top 10 all lost the game. In some cases, it didn't hurt them, or maybe even helped in the case of one team in particular. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure we'll go back through and see the last time that's happened. Yeah. So a lot of movement this week. Only two teams held on to their spots from the previous week, that being the top team, Bishop Girton. 16 out of the 17 first place votes to hold on to number one. For the third time this year, third time in four polls, we've had a new number two. That's Bedford, who the team I alluded to maybe benefited from their loss last week, taking BG to double overtime. They move up to number two. I'm pretty sure for the first time ever since we've been doing the poll that they've never been ranked this high. They move up to two. Portsmouth, coming off a big win over Exeter last week, they move up to number three. Exeter falls from two to four. Derryfield goes from four to five. Again, a team you guys took your first loss. You and Exeter both had your first losses last week, and Bedford. Six, Timberlane jumps ahead of Pinkerton by 1 point.
Wow.
The Owls were close last week, and Pinkerton held on to that sixth spot. But this week, Timberlane comes out ahead at six. Pinkerton drops to seven. St. Thomas holds on to the eighth spot. Wyndham jumps back into the poll for the first time since the preseason. They are at number 9, and Londonderry drops from 9 to 10, hangs on to that 10th spot, stays in the pole. And then Merrimack had been in that 10th spot. They dropped out this past week. And you've got Winneconnet, Oyster River, Newmarket, Concord, Bow, Pelham, Campbell, and Hollis Brookline all receiving votes.
As we talked about, that 10 spot has been hotly debated. A lot of teams, and you know, we said that we feel like the top has been fairly, you know, the spots change a little bit, but they've been fairly consistent in who's been there. And then we've had some movement in the bottom half. Might have some more movement. I mean, I think we'll get into it, but you know, St. Thomas with a impressive game the other day. Again, probably you had mentioned a good loss earlier, right? Like, you know, St. Thomas playing Portsmouth to a 10-9 game may actually help them in the poll, in the upcoming poll next week.
Could, yeah. And
depending on how they've got a big game again. Yeah. They got a big game coming up against Timberlane.
Is that before the end of the week, or
that is as we are taping, it will be happening this afternoon.
I am a little all over the place with the schedule this week. You get into this is for me, I feel like the beginning of crunch time. Yeah. You know, where I start to look at things and I'm like, uh-oh, I haven't seen this team yet. I haven't seen that team yet. So
we might need to get out there. That'll be a good one.
Get a little more out there today, tomorrow as well. Big week ahead for a lot of teams, but I want to go back and look at the game again. We record this on Wednesdays, so we missed some of the stuff that happens on Wednesday. Last week we mentioned that Exeter Portsmouth game was happening after we were recording, so we wanted to make sure we circled back to that because it's one of the bigger games, been one of the bigger games of the last couple of years, and no,
lived up to its billing.
Absolutely. Although I will say, for the first half of that game, it felt a little sleepy, like. Not a lot of scoring early on.
Both teams kind of feeling each other out, Exeter, focusing a little more.
Exeter had a lot of possession in that game early, yeah. Too. You know, it felt like they were controlling possession. They took a ton of shots. We talked about Will McElroy on faceoffs for them this year. Just giving them, you know, his improvements, giving them a weapon that maybe they hadn't had as consistently in the past, and he was in the first half. You know, dueling it out there with Nick Smith, kind of going back and forth.
He's put a ton of work in. He looks phenomenal. He's in great shape. He's a really good athlete. And has established himself as one of the better faceoff guys in Division I.
You know, Exeter has a 5-2 lead in that one with 14 seconds left in the first half, and then typical Portsmouth stuff happens. You know, Smith wins the faceoff, gets the ball. Down real quick, and Ben Purcell scores with 8 seconds to go. And now it's 5-3 going into halftime. But then the opposite happens coming out of the half. McElroy wins the faceoff. They get the ball down real quick. I'm blanking on who had the goal, but Exeter scores 14 seconds into the second half, 6-3. And then they win the next faceoff. And it's kind of feeling like, okay, this might be a big momentum shift. They scored one goal the rest of the way. And it wasn't until, there was just under 4 minutes left. So they went a good, 18 minutes without a goal in that one. And then that third quarter was a little bit.
Did you notice anything? Did Portsmouth change anything up? Did they do anything different in the second half defensively?
I don't know that they did anything specifically different other than just get out a little bit more, you know, just play a little bit better. And then the other thing too was that they, you know, as there was more scoring later in the game, they started winning more faceoffs.
Sure.
So that kind of swung things as well. They were able to, Owen Williams for Exeter, you know, had his 3-2, but everybody else had one goal across the board. So Portsmouth was able to kind of, you know, shut down some, you know, Exeter's other threats. That certainly helped. And then,
which is impressive. Marshall Lasowitz has had some big games, throughout the season there.
Yeah. The other interesting thing for Portsmouth that I didn't notice until the third quarter, it might have been because I'm not sure if they were a man up earlier. Macy Schoen out there on Portsmouth's man up as a long pole. I thought maybe it was an interesting wrinkle they were trying.
Another thing you got to prepare for.
Yep. Not as exciting as I would. It was, Chad Vischer said afterwards that more out of necessity because of the number of guys they had banged up or sick or just not there. But it worked out pretty well for them. They got a man-up goal with about 8 minutes left in the third quarter to make it 6-4. And then last minute of the quarter, Zach Amend, who had – it was interesting. He finished with 5 goals, but it wasn't him that caught – I mean, he started the run at the end of the third quarter, but it was other guys that stepped up in that fourth quarter and got them the lead and put them in front. While I think Exeter was focused on trying to take him out of the game, you had Purcell and Lucas Patton step up, get 2 goals each in that fourth quarter. And then it felt like in the blink of an eye, it went from 6-4 to 10-7 Portsmouth. But really, it was over the course of the whole quarter.
Yeah.
Just a great run to finish out that game for them. Smith finished the second half. I had him 7-for-11 on faceoffs. So that was a big swing as well. And a huge win for Portsmouth. And, I got a couple of texts, after that game thinking, hey, depending on what happens Friday between BG and Exeter, maybe Portsmouth ends up the number one team in the poll this week.
I mean, I think there's – I mean, you saw it in the poll results this week. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made, until somebody in-state beats BG, right, they're going to remain number one. But it's a lot closer right now until something changes than I think a lot of people would have thought. And, I mean, if you gave Portsmouth if you gave them a number one vote, like, why would you not? I mean, they played Exeter as well as anybody. Got the win and have proven that until somebody beats them that they are one of the top teams right now. They've got great players at every position. I think Coach Vischer wasn't happy that they got first place votes, but I think they got one first place vote. I think they're pretty deserving of it right now.
And at the time I thought coming out of that game, this is what makes sports fun, right? Like, I thought I knew what to expect coming out of that game to happen when BG and Exeter played on Friday, because I look at this, well, BG's going to do this and Exeter won't be able to do that. And
you were partially correct. I mean, from what you described, BG really focused on Owen and was able to, have a pretty good day. And then Marshall really stepped up in that game.
Pretty much the opposite of what happened against Portsmouth. Owen Williams only had 1 goal in that game, had Alex Dumont on him for most of the day, pretty much following him wherever he went. He went off the field to get some water. Alex went with him. That kind of thing. And Marshall Lazowitz had 6 goals, 6 of Exeter's 8 goals in that game. But I wasn't sure how, it was going to go the other way too. That was Exeter going to be able to slow down BG? And I think as we've seen from now, these 4 games that the Cardinals have had over the previous 2 weeks here is they've got the talent. They just need to get it all on the same page.
Right.
There have been too many times where, just meshing kind of old guys with newer guys, it hasn't gone as smoothly as you expect it to. In a month from now,
I was gonna say
this may be forgotten.
They're still winning they're still winning games right now, so you gotta be encouraged. If you're Coach Cameron, you gotta be encouraged about that hey, maybe we're not playing our best right now, but we've found a way to win those games and we've still got a month to figure it out.
Absolutely.
And continue to build on there. They've got more games they can test themselves against. You said a huge factor in that game was Paulo at the faceoff.
Paulo on faceoffs,
was able to pretty much control that game. Where in the Portsmouth game, it was a little bit closer, at least in the first half, that allowed Exeter to kind of have some runs and gain possessions and grind that clock a little bit.
Yeah, I try to do this always dangerous. Meant to write this down beforehand and then try to do some math real quick before we started. I'm fairly certain I had him going 16 of 23 on faceoffs for Paulo Vasquez in that game. It had that feel, early on. Exeter goes up 2-0. BG answers, goes up 3-2 going into the second quarter, which is kind of not unsimilar to what happened with Bedford. Bedford went ahead early in that game on last Tuesday, and BG came back But that run didn't continue for BG. And then Exeter flips it and goes up, you know, is up 5-3, up 5-4 going into the half. Had a really, you know, interesting feel. I would think that the last time BG trailed at halftime to an in-state opponent was probably the championship game in 21 against Exeter. I think they got down in the first half, definitely in the first quarter of that game. I think it was they were still down at halftime. It was 4-0 at least, maybe 6. But either way, they were. I think that's the last time they trailed to an in-state opponent, you know, at the half. You know, and then they had, like they did against, you know, in against Bedford in the first half. BG comes out in the second half and goes on a little bit of a run that we're, you know, used to seeing them go on. They turn a 5-4 deficit into a 9-5 lead in, you know, about 8 minutes, less than 8 minutes, 7.5 minutes, and just kind of was able to hold on to that and kind of take it to the end for an 11-8 win. So, you know, I hate saying, oh, everybody's, or it's as close as it's ever been to BG in a long time, which isn't, you know, yes, you have to go back to 2019 and, you know, Pinkerton, it was Pinkerton and BG going back and forth. So there was one team that was, you know, close to them. This it says to me there's more than different. One team. There's maybe two teams that are, you know, right there nipping at their heels. That hasn't been the case in, I mean, probably before we were even doing this, you know, going back
for
10,
sure.
15
I mean, I think
years.
I was going to say, I think the first time that I started doing this with you was back in 2015, 2016,
somewhere around there.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a BG Pinkerton world for a long time there, and then everybody else. And, you know, it's, I'm sure Coach Cameron and BG aren't happy about it, but but I think, you know, it is kind of neat to see some games there that, you know, you don't go into saying, oh, it's over before it even starts.
Yeah, I don't know. I got the feeling he didn't say anything towards this, but talking to Coach Cameron after those four games, including the, you know, St. John's and Staples games, while they were frustrated from those outcomes being losses, I almost got a hint of kind of a little bit of excitement from him, because there were some things that maybe he's going to have to do with this team as a coach that he hasn't had to do with some other teams recently. And I don't know. I can imagine.
Well, it definitely keeps you more focused at practice.
I mean,
you know that, okay, we're not invincible, and that, you know, if we're not focused and we're not playing our best, that we could lose at any time. So certainly makes it easier for a coach to keep people's attention at practice.
I've heard from coaches too in all sports that those years that they go into where they have, you know, not that BG's in this spot, but where they have to do more coaching, they have to do more teaching.
Yeah.
Those sometimes are the more fun years because, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Not that you don't do it in other years, but it's a different kind of coaching.
Right. Right, especially if you got kids that want to be, that want to learn and want to do that
and
want to
get better.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
you know, this week though, BG turns around with, you know, they beat South on Monday 14-0. They have Merrimack, Exeter again on Friday, and then Londonderry Saturday. So kind of a week to, you know, maybe set up some things that they want to see happen coming out of those games. You know, Exeter, it'll be an interesting to see how they kind of bounce back in that game. I find it fascinating that some of these back or these, you know, you have these two games and they're so close together. I think they do the same thing with Bedford. I think they play Bedford on a Wednesday and then turn around and play them again on a Monday, the following Monday.
Later,
yeah.
Later,
so just that quick turnaround, like how do you handle it? Are you,
it was a little like when we did it during COVID.
Right,
you
exactly.
Bookend games in COVID.
Yeah.
It was like normally you had you know, more games in between there, and it was interesting to see dramatic score shifts during those COVID where you had to play the same team twice in 1 week. You quickly spent those 3 days in between games kind of game planning. Said, okay, this is what they like to do in that game, and you could really focus on it during that week, whereas in a normal year, right, you're moving on to the next opponent and you're game planning for them, and maybe you don't have the time to kind of really focus on the adjustments you want to make for that particular team. I can see it working both ways. It would be kind of cool to see that game played later, but you know, that'll be a fun one coming up on Friday.
Looking at Division One as well, there were a couple of interesting scores at the end of the week. You know, two teams that had been in the top 10 for most of the season handed a couple of losses that you know were a little eye opening. Not gonna lie about that. You know, Londonderry dropping a 9-6 game last Friday to Concord. Concord that you know has been playing. You know, a lot of teams tough, younger guys, younger group. You know, they got big games in there. They're from Liam Yeatman with three goals, Carter Doherty a goal and four assists. I mean, he's a guy. I forget what game it was earlier, but I feel like earlier last week he had like a six goal game.
He's one of the top players in Division One right now. Just as a sophomore, right now he's very, very good.
I don't know if you saw this past week. I think he eclipsed 100 career points in 25 games.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Quick math there. How many is that a game?
Too many. Four. Is that four? Yeah. Okay. That's four. Good. I don't have enough. I don't have enough fingers to figure that one out.
You know what's impressive is that you know Concord. You know they're only sitting with three wins right now, but they've got two other games where they've dropped two losses by a goal. There. You know, they're starting to play well. It sets up a huge matchup on Wednesday today with Dover there. You know, Dover coming off of – they beat Merrimack 7-3. Concord had lost by a goal to Merrimack, and then Dover loses by a goal to Londonderry. So, I mean, this is a huge one in terms of D1 playoff seedings and, you know, even just to get into the playoffs there.
Yeah, you know, and I think a year ago –
game being played at Concord.
Yeah. I don't know if that matters too much which field you're on for either of those teams.
Fair enough.
Other than the bus ride.
But always yeah, nice. So you don't have to get in the bus. Yeah,
that's true. But yeah, you mentioned too Dover's 7-3 win over Merrimack, kind of the other score from last Friday that kind of opened some eyes there. Micah Crick with three goals for Dover in that one. And, you know, Toby DeRocha and Silas Brown, two apiece. And, of course, the
– Dom breaking the record.
The new state record holder for saves, Dom Chalifour, with 17 in that game against Merrimack. To add to his total, I think that put him at 730 total. I know he had a few more against Londonderry.
He's got plenty of games left. He may get to well over 800 this season's
put
done.
That out of reach, and we'll be talking. We'll have to retire that record like they do with some of the track records.
That would be impressive. You need to start for 4 years and average over 200 saves a year. That would be pretty impressive for any goalie there. Yeah. And still, a really impressive feat by Dom. And you know, I'm looking forward to that box score tonight to kind of see how that game turns out. I know two coaches working really hard with their teams there. You know, talking to Coach Smith the other day, you know, he's super proud. His team's young right now, and they're starting to put things together. They're running the systems that he's putting in really well right now. And again, he was high coming in the season on these guys, and you know, he's doing a great job of keeping them focused. And you know, they've got some very winnable games coming down the stretch here, and this is a big one for them. Coach Ketchum over at Dover right now, you know, he's working on you know, rebuilding and you know, instilling the guys with some confidence and showing, hey, we can do this and we can win, right? And the close games they've had early in the season here, you know, are kind of, you know, proof of concept, right? But now you got to get over the hump, right? You need a win. Both teams want to win today, but they both need it. And, you know, it'll be huge for either team that gets the W today.
We should also mention, too, they did play on the 13th on one goal game, so... Yep. Probably expect something similar to show up from Wednesday's game. You know, that opens the door too. I mean, we talked last year, I think, about there being like a clear top six, and then Dover and Concord were kind of those last two playoff teams, you know, that were able to get in last year, kind of looked like they were in a similar spot this year, but that opens the door. Both those wins kind of open the door that if Londonderry or Merrimack slips up, you know, down the road, and either of those teams has better performances, you know, down the stretch, got to imagine they're going to continue to improve. Maybe they sneak up a little bit in the standings and you know, edge out one of those teams for, you know, let's say the sixth seed.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible. I mean, you know, Dover beat Merrimack the other day, you know, and so, you know, there will be, you know, Merrimack does have two games in hand against Concord right now, two one-goal wins, so that's huge there. But there's plenty of lacrosse to be played in the Division One side still to come.
You know, also can't count out, you know, Manchester in that scenario too. I mean, they're, you know, right in there with Dover and Concord. You know, they had a couple tough losses over break to North and to Salem, but certainly room for them to keep in that race there.
Yep, they've got another game with South tour in the middle of May there. They've got a game with Trinity, Merrimack, Pembroke, Londonderry, Concord, Dover. So, you know, that their last six games of this last seven games of the season, they have a tough stretch right now. They got Bedford and Exeter coming up, but the last seven games of the season will certainly tell the story of the Kings this year.
That's the good thing, I guess, about getting Pinkerton and BG in week one is that you get them out of the way and, you know, your schedule is not so daunting down the stretch. I don't know, any other thoughts on D1 before we shift into, I know we already talked a little Portsmouth, but talk some more D2.
Well, Salem, you know, Salem's in the same boat. Their back half of the schedule here is where they'll find out. They're 1-4 right now, but they've certainly got a lot of, you know, on paper winnable games and games that they should be competitive coming down the stretch here. So that'll be a team to keep an eye on as well.
You know, we talked about, you mentioned while we were talking about Portsmouth Exeter, they also, while we were doing the coaches poll, Portsmouth had that win over St. Thomas the other day, you know, 10-9, a game too where St. Thomas, I think, got up early and Portsmouth had to come back. Just a
heated rivalry. Yeah, I mean, if you remember last year, I think it was a 6-5, 7-6, something like that game last year. You know, two teams that know each other really well. A lot of kids that, you know, live on the seacoast that know each other and grown up playing against each other. Just seems like, you know, every year that's been a great game.
Yeah, I was looking up. I was hoping I would have this before you finished talking, but trying to find the results from last year. And 8-7 was the final. So another one goal game. You know, and it sounds like another case, you know, like that fourth quarter against Exeter where some other guys outside of Zachaman and Nick Smith stepped up and provided scoring. And I think that's really going to be key for Portsmouth the rest of the way in those tougher games is can guys like, you know, Ben Purcell, Lucas Patton, Briggs Catino, are they stepping up and being able to provide those third, fourth, and fifth scoring options, which is what, you know, what you need a lot of times to get to that level.
Right. It's been encouraging. They've shown that already in the big games this season there. They're going to be a tough team. You know, we've talked about when you're not relying on one or two guys, it makes you a really hard team to stop. And it's going to be a tall task for any team to be able to step up and stop them this year. And why I think so many people have them ranked as high as they do in the coaches poll.
Any thoughts on you? You obviously guys went down to Westwood on Saturday and
awesome game.
Had a tough
wish
game.
Wish the result had been a little bit different, but we learned some things. You know, coming out of that game, some things that we definitely need to work on before we hit the playoffs. We got a tough 3-game stretch coming up here. We got Goffstown on Friday. We're at Timberlane, and then we host Portsmouth here. So, you know, excited for the challenge, but, you know, definitely some things we've got to work on before coming up, before this 3-game stretch here.
Looking forward to that Timberlane game. I will be there with, maybe I'll get one of those Burger King crowns and
there you go.
throw that on the sideline. Weather looks like it's going to be pretty nice too.
I think for your birthday, they'll let you down on the field. I think
they'll let me down.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think they'll let you in for the game.
That would be nice.
They might even waive the fee. You might even have to pay the gate fee that day.
Wait, you mean there's there was a joke there, and I couldn't come up with it fast enough. I apologize. You know, two other teams in D2 that I think you brought up last week in talking about how they had rebounded from their first losses nicely and still look like they're going pretty strong, Hollis Brookline and Wyndham, both one-loss teams in D2. You know, Hollis has put together four wins in a row now, despite I think being a little shorthanded in some places. I don't know if that's due to injury or what's going on.
Injury, could be vacation week, could be all kinds of things. But impressive to go. You get a three game week. Score hasn't been posted online yet, but picked up a win against Sauhegan the other night. So they're rolling right now. They've got a tough one tonight. Hosting Portsmouth.
Two back-to-back tough ones, hosting Portsmouth and then hosting Londonderry on Thursday, and then Saturday morning against Pembroke.
I don't know if I'd be happy with my AD over that schedule, but, you know, good challenge. I mean, if you get opportunity to get right back at it both 2 days in a row.
And then Wyndham, too. You know, they lost that second game of the year to Oyster River Newmarket, and then since then rattled off six straight wins, you know, including one at Winneconnet, and then on Tuesday at Alvern. A 10-5 score there, kind of low scoring for both sides. So I'm a little curious on how that that came about. But and then these two, well, Wyndham, you talk about tough games. Wyndham's going to find out what it's what D1 next year will really be like when they go to play Pinkerton on Saturday. And then they both turn around on Tuesday, and you got Hollis Brookline at Wyndham Tuesday afternoon. So
huge. Yeah. That was a huge one last year for playoff seeding, and it'll be a huge one again this year for playoff seeding.
Yeah. I don't know, anything else from D2 that jumped out at you this past week?
I'm as we mentioned earlier, I'm excited to see the Timberlane St. Thomas game tonight. You know, how does St. Thomas, you know, emotionally go from, you know, you got your rivalry game against Portsmouth there, and now you got to turn around against, you know, arguably one of the top teams in Division II. You know, you do get to host them, so that's an advantage there. You're playing on turf. You know, how does that game go? You know, two of the top teams in the league. It's again huge one for the playoff standings.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we're getting a lot of these games. I mean, with so many what we looked at as contenders in D2, it felt like there's constantly games like this. But now that we're seeing a little bit, very very little separation in there in the loss column, I feel like there's even more of these now that we're seeing some of the.
I think it's going to make it. What I'm looking at is, like, you know, a lot of people, like you said, you're trying to figure out playoff pictures and things like that. What really matters is that I think what it's showing in Division II is there's you're not going to get a real easy road in the playoffs. Like, there are a lot of teams that are going to be pretty good when you come playoff time. I think even a little tighter than it was last year. Like, there were, I would say the top seven teams last year were all really good last year, and it made for some very interesting quarterfinal and semifinal matchups, where in years past, you know, it was pretty clear who maybe the top two teams were, or maybe the top three teams. You know, there were upsets last year. I think, you know, it'll be based on the uneven schedules, it's going to be a very interesting playoff seeding for Division
II. Not going to do any good for anybody that's listening to this on Thursday, but oddly, that St. Thomas Timberlane game is listed as a St. Thomas home game at Timberlane.
Okay.
I'm not sure what's, at least that's how it is on Timberlane's schedule. I'm not sure how that's working, but like I said, doesn't do anything for anybody now, because as you're listening to this, the game's over. So we kind of weird.
Check online.
Yeah, exactly.
Call the school.
I guess that's a good segue into what seems, I feel like, has been happening a lot this season. You know, even more so than during the COVID year, it is the schedules are changing constantly. I can't tell you the number of times where I've had plans to go to a game. This actually happened last week with that Exeter Portsmouth game. That game was initially scheduled for 10 a.m. on Wednesday last week, and I don't know when it got changed, but it got moved back to 3 for whatever reason. You know, so I feel like it's happening a lot where I don't know if it's a bus issue, if it's a field issue, if it's just, you know, we're going to flip JV and varsity.
Probably all of the above.
All the above, yeah.
It's been a very – again, I haven't been doing this the longest. I think it's my fifth year as AD, but this has definitely been the most challenging year for me as an athletic director in terms of a spring where just every day – like, I don't know. I looked at the weather earlier this week. There was no call for rain on Tuesday, and then all of a sudden, midday, we get a thunderstorm rolling through. And now all the field, like, we were planning on playing baseball, and the fields are just soaked, and the sun's not coming out. Even today, it's kind of like, man, I hope the sun comes out, because, like, you know, we got to get the fields dry.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You can only put so much diamond dry out there.
Need some big hair dryers, like, yeah. Like in Spaceballs.
You laugh, but we got the leaf blowers out, and we went over the tennis court. No, we've been doing that. Tennis courts to get those matches in. We're getting the leaf blowers out to try and get them dry, because, like, you know, the least little bit of rain, it puddles up, you can't play, and if the sun's not coming out, you got to get the water off there the best you can. So
looking at D3, you know, they kind of all everybody got back into action on Monday, but, you know, still a lot of teams with a lot of games left to play. Just looking at this week alone, I feel like there's a lot of teams that are already you know, 3 weeks, three games a week the rest of the way, maybe even four games. But, you know, the one I got to see a little bit of Campbell in Plymouth yesterday. Campbell back at full strength with everybody back in school. But kind of one of those, I think what you maybe would expect, those, you know, two teams that kind of pride themselves on their defense, getting out there, 8-3 win for Campbell. Just, you know, from what I saw, just felt like a grind for both teams.
I thought I saw two fairly balanced scoring for Campbell.
They had all starters on offense got a goal. Yeah. You know, some, you know, three different guys scored for Plymouth, including both Legacy brothers there, Cooper and Luke. Also, you know, second time I've seen a little bit of Plymouth this year too. And we talked about their goalie, Robbie Thorne, in the beginning of the year. You know, wondered what kind of goalie he was going to be. Obviously, a different kind of goalie from the, you know, guy they had a few years ago in Jake Marcoux. But certainly, you know, a bigger guy. I think he plays probably fullback for them on the football team, but also a guy that can move a little bit too. He's very athletic. Saw him get to a couple of balls that, you know, maybe you wouldn't expect a guy that size to get to. And he made some really nice saves in that game to keep it, you know, an 8-3 game. So, impressed with what I've seen on that side from Plymouth and the couple times I've seen them.
You know, Plymouth's offense will get rolling. They will not be an easy out come playoff time there. They've always played good defense. They always have great athletes up there. They'll be a tough out there, but an excellent win for Campbell coming out of the break.
And a big one for them, you know, coming up at the end of the week. They had Stevens Wednesday. They turn around and go to Co-Brown on Friday. Of course, Co-Brown beat him, 10 days ago, 12-6 at Campbell. You know, so a opportunity to kind of avenge that loss.
And we had mentioned that Campbell wasn't at complete full strength.
Sure,
still a great win for Co-Brown there. You know, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Now they got to travel out to Co-Brown, see what that score looks like this time around here.
Yeah, that should be an interesting one. Anything else on the D3 side that piques your interest or
I'm looking at Bo Pelham coming up on Friday.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Gonna be a good one. That's at Bo. That's a huge one to kind of see where Bo's at right now, but not only Bo but Pelham, you know, coming out of break. You know, Pelham didn't have a whole lot of games. They didn't have any games over break.
I feel like they haven't played in like 3 weeks. It's been 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, so yeah. You know, kind of like knock the rust off. They do have, you know, Pelham's got Lebanon today and then they got to go to Bo, so you know, we'll see how that Lebanon game turns out today, but you know, potentially that's a huge game for seeding purposes on Friday there.
Three road games in a row for them, at Bow, at Interlakes, and then at Kearsarge for Pelham. So
Road Warriors.
Yeah, tough. Going to be a while until they're playing back on that home field. All right, well, any final thoughts before we wrap up for the week?
No, Joe, I just, like we said, it seems like we say this every year, like the season is going by so fast. We're halfway through. You know, it's been a lot of fun, and there's still some great games coming up here. And you know, I think more teams feel like they have a shot to win than ever before. At this point in the season, I feel like
I would agree with that. All right, well, I guess that'll about do it for us for this week. Chris, thanks again for as always for doing this.
Absolutely, Joe. We'll do it again next week.
He is Chris Hettler. I'm Joe Marcellina. Everybody have a great week. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.